Hello and welcome back to this is part three now of the movies you forgot. You forgot movie best of the 21st century special, Joe's Big Idea.
Yeah. Woo!
Pick a film. Pick the best.
Pick one.
Pick one. Best film. One a year.
Favourite film.
Favourite film. Easy.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to the first two. If you're listening to this now, well, maybe you want to dive straight ahead to 2012.
Maybe you do.
I mean, you'll be missing some great chat about
time,
2007.
Yeah, can't wait until you find out about the conclusion of the Tom Cruise debate.
Oh, that still burns. That still burns. Please pick one. Please pick one. Please pick one. Please pick one. So let's dig right in. 2012. It's a strong year.
Is it?
2012.
This is the second time this has happened, Adam, and I'm slightly concerned that my year is... This is the thinnest of my years. Although I kept it short because I have... for 2014 and 2015, I've got rather a few. So maybe I kept it short on purpose. Why do you think it's a strong year?
Well, strong slash solid.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you try and guess my film?
I've got two that I think it could be for you. The first one is P.T. Anderson's The Master.
Yep. That's what Cool Me says.
Uh-huh. That's what Cool You says.
Cool Cineast Me says The Master.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm slightly worried that the other one would be cooler if you said it. Now I'm worried that it's not. But I thought that it was Francis Ha.
No, real me says Looper.
Oh, Looper. Yeah, it's not even on my list of options for you, but fair enough.
That is in my wheelhouse.
I never really got on board with Looper. Tell me why you love Looper so much.
Oh, mate, I fucking love time travel. And I love when a version of yourself fucks with another version of yourself.
Yeah.
So you get.
You're doing that on a daily basis, aren't you?
Yeah.
But without the time travel.
In a way, yeah. So that's why I really love kind of clone movies. You get that a lot. And this, it's not a clone movie, but it achieves the same thing, but with time travel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very clever conceit. I hadn't seen it quite done in this way before. I think the main thing that threw me off in the first instance was the special effects to make Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's the young Bruce, look like old Bruce. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of rubbed me up the wrong way.
Yeah, it worked for me. They did, I mean, they're practical special effects, for starters. Yeah,
sure.
And it's the only good performance that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has ever done. He's great in it. Bruce Willis, he's one of my guys, you know, from Die Hard to Die Hard 3.
Yeah.
To him in Pop, he's fantastic in Pulp Fiction. I love him.
The Fifth Element.
Yeah, he's great in that rubbish film. He's just superb. Really sad to see how he's got poorly. That does genuinely make me a little bit sad. Because 2012, Django's there, which, if it didn't have the extraneous fourth act on top of it, it would be a proper contender.
I like the fourth act. That film, I grow very fond of that film over the years. I like it more and more.
Fair enough. Francis Ha, as you mentioned, Brave is really, really strong.
Is that the Pixar movie, Brave?
The Pixar movie, Brave, yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that one. Is it good?
It is really, really good, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, obviously The Master, but then you've also got Dread. You've got... You don't think it's a strong year, but you've got Amor. Ruby Sparks is really good. This is 40. You know, there's a lot of decent stuff knocking about.
Sure.
And, yeah, The Master, that's tip-top P.T. Anderson.
Yeah.
Joaquin, our man Joaquin Phoenix, delivering probably the finest performance of his career.
You've never seen it
twice? Yeah. It's his best performance.
No, I think I've only seen it twice. I watched it in the cinema and I didn't quite get it. I didn't really get on board with it. And you know, this is 5 years after There Will Be Blood, Big PT. So I was very excited to watch it, and I loved Joaquin Phoenix, and I just didn't. At the time, it didn't really do anything for me. I have watched it since, and I think, yes, that's a terrific film, but I don't feel anything about it, you know?
Yeah, I think I probably have only seen it twice as well, which is why it didn't win. I would like to pretend in certain circles, oh, of course, the master. But I do like how he went quite a hard right away from There Will Be Blood to something a little bit trickier and harder to love.
And a moment to remember the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, the late great.
A moment, yeah, please let us pause for thought.
Well, listen, you've kind of confidently listed a bunch of films, which makes me feel like you know what my favourite is.
Yeah, well, let's have a look. It's obviously Men in Black 3.
Lol.
You've got... Yeah, because you just said you don't think it's a strong year. So are you saying Les Miserables?
Do you hear the people sing, singing the songs of angry men?
It is
the music of a people who will not be slaves again. Oh, man. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. I love that film. I mean, I love the story and I love the music. But I particularly love Hugh Jackman in that film. I think he's amazing. And his little rendition of Who Am I it makes me cry. I can just watch that on YouTube and cry. I think it's just beautiful. And we talked about Rusty Crowe in there too. I really love Rusty Crowe in there, even though he can't really sing, you know. So mine's definitely Les Mis.
2013.
Just did 2012.
There's a keeper right there, yeah. That's a keeper.
Sorry, you were just talking for so long, I thought we'd gone back in time.
Yeah.
To the same year. 2013.
Yeah. I was just talking for so long with a lovely, concise, actually quite short reason about why I like one of my favourite films.
I was just teasing you back. You teased me. If you tease me, I'm going to tease you back.
I'm not a tease taker.
Me neither. Neither of us are tease takers. That's why we end up fucking arguing about Tom Cruise for 20 minutes. 2013, I consider another solid as fuck year.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, 2013, isn't it? It's good. It was really hard for me to pick a favourite.
Can I just, if we go, I think from 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and spoiler alert, 2014 and 2015.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a run. It's going to be a hell of a run of strong years.
Yeah. Personally, I would throw 2016 in there as well. And you might not, but like I think it's an incredible run.
Yeah. No, it's just because I've written down only two for that because there were instant picks. But But it's just really nice to reflect on culture and think, oh my God, we did, you know, cinema hasn't always been shit. You know, we've had long, long runs of years where it's just been banger after banger.
Well, it's nice to look back as well, because I feel like a lot at the time, during those years, people sort of go, oh, they don't make films like they used to. And then you wait 10 years, you look back and you go, oh, shit, that was an amazing year.
Yeah, absolutely. So how am I going to pick for your 2013?
I'm not helping you, but I'm going to say I've had to go with the film that I can't say it is helping you. Okay, I can't. Yeah, you just guess.
I'm just going to guess because I know you really rate this film and you think it's really good.
Yeah.
Blue Ruin.
No, so close though. That it was in contention.
Okay. Maybe you're picking the film that you could never really watch again, Under the Skin.
No, again, it's so close, but it's not.
I never considered this on my list, but Inside Llewyn Davis?
No. There were four films that were really hard to pick between, and you've mentioned two of them already. Inside Llewyn Davis isn't on there.
Yeah, I didn't think that was... That's on my list, but yeah, I would have... You're too musical for that. Okay, I'll give one more guess. Before Midnight?
No, it's not.
Ooh.
Well, in which case, shall I guess yours and then come back? We'll come back to me. I mean, the two that I had written down for you, you've already said, and I'm uncertain whether you would pick films that, and I'm uncertain whether you would say your favourite out loud, but I had capitalised Under the Skin and Inside Llewyn Davis. Is it one of those?
No, because they're on my close-up, you know, list, but...
In which case, it's Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa.
No, that's not.
then I don't know unless it's the same as mine.
I think what I've done for this year is, as a slight cheat for Get Out, I went for the film that I had the most fun watching, and then on rewatching as well. It's just this really gory, fun, great flick that I went for.
Right. I'm never going to get it then. I haven't written anything down like that. What is your...
It's the Evil Dead remake.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah, we watched that together, I think, at the Old Red Lion Cinema Club.
Yeah, I'd seen it at the Hackney Picture House all by myself. Was I feeling a little bit down? Maybe.
It stands to reason that you would be.
And I just had an absolute blast. But Before Midnight is nearly up there. Field in England, Upstream Colour, I really love, but I think unfortunately the director Shane Carruth has got up to some rather unsavoury shenanigans, so that's kind of dropped down.
Okay.
I really like Oblivion.
Oblivion is the Tom Cruise movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's move.
I always get that one confused with the one that's got English actor in. Live, Die, Repeat, or whatever.
Emily Blunt.
Which one's Oblivion?
Oblivion is he's kind of up in the sky. He's a kind of caretaker of Earth, and he's with Andrea Riseborough, and he has to go down, and he's got like various jobs to do, and he only kind of speaks to a computer, and all is not what it seems.
Right.
It's got a superb score. It looks great. I love the idea. And, yeah, it really works for me. And then, yeah, there's another little great little sci-fi called Coherence. Enemy, Denis Villeneuve's early film with old Jakey Gyllenhaal. What's your film, man? What's your film?
Well, the two that you haven't mentioned that are on my list, one of them, I didn't pick this in the end, but I could have done, was 12 Years a Slave, which is obviously very sad, but it is... a superbly well-made film. It is a very compelling story, and I've watched it several times. It's one that kind of belies any sort of critical analysis, but I think it's terrific.
Dallas Buyers Club?
No, not Dallas Buyers Club. The film I picked is, and the reasoning that I give for this, the reasoning that I was a bit afraid to give you at the beginning because I thought it would lead to your correct answer was
Her.
Yeah, it's Her. Yeah, and Her, it's the most rewatchable for me. It's the one I've seen the greatest number of times. I really believe and buy into the nature of the romantic and loving relationship between Joaquin Phoenix and his AI assistant, played by Scarlett Johansson. I think it's a really gentle, sweet film. It doesn't concern itself too much with the stakes being that big because, listen, it's a film about love. The stakes are always big. And I think it's the film that I love Amy Adams in the most. She plays Joaquin Phoenix's neighbor and friend. And there's this great scene about halfway through the film where they both kind of almost shamefully admit to each other that they are in relationships with their AI assistants. And when they realize that the other one also is, they have this like great, amazing conversation about it. It's a brilliant film. I think it's really great, and I don't think it gets enough credit for that. So that's why I picked it.
It's a good shout. I think most people listening would probably be picking something like The Wolf of Wall Street, which I just think is so overdone in culture. I kind of like, I'm sick of how big it is.
Yeah.
Ooh, memed to fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's been TikTokified to within an inch of its life. It to give it some credit, it is a watchable if slightly disturbing film, and it's got lots of great scenes in it and some fun in it and whatever. But I always feel a bit more guilty when I'm watching that.
I just don't find it to be satirical of the thing it's supposed to be satirizing.
Yeah.
I find it to be a celebration of it.
Yeah. That's kind of the trouble, isn't it? And then they sort of go, oh, no, it's a satire. And you go, is it? Which bit? I'm confused.
But I don't have that problem with Goodfellas, because that's not supposed to be a satire of criminality. It's just laying it out there, whereas...
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like there's a little bit of bad faith going on. It's obviously technically very well made film. Leo's having a blast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
It's super watchable, but you're right. It kind of ends with this sort of, I don't really know what the ending is supposed to represent. I think the best scene in that film is when he joins the pink slips, the tiny, like the penny, penny stocks company that's sort of in this little office adjacent to a parking lot, and it's full of these kind of odds and ends of people, and he picks up the phone and makes the first call and does, you know, an incredible American sales call, by the end of which everyone else in the office is like listening to every word. That's a great scene. That's a really fun bit of the film. But yeah, your central criticism of it, I think, is an appropriate one, and it's what prevents it from making it onto my longer list.
Great. And also just that before that bit, the guy who kind of interviews him at that place is Spike Jonze.
Oh, is it?
So it all comes back to her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
2014.
Oof. Whoa, daddy.
Now, let me remind you, this is the first of 2 years, Adam, where I said I've got quite long, long lists. And I'm going to take up a little more time.
Feel free if you want to spray your load.
I do. I'm going to start, though, by guessing what your film is.
Okay.
But
I mean, you're going
to
get
it.
First,
I want to know... Yeah, okay, great. That's what I wanted to know. It's Interstellar.
You're not going to get it. He's played the Nolan card again, and he has failed.
Okay, in which case, hold your bloody horses there. It's not the Grand Budapest Hotel, is it?
No.
It's not The Raid 2, is it?
No. What's going on?
What am I missing? What am I missing from 2014? Maybe I may well have left some off the list because my list was so long already that I didn't want to add to it more. And I saw Interstellar and I was like, well, Adams is definitely Interstellar, so I'll just pop that one down and be done with it.
Mm. There's a huge one staring you right in the face.
There's a big boy in my face.
I mean, I can't believe, as far as I'm concerned, my one is your one.
Oh, Whiplash.
Yeah.
Your one's Whiplash?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like Whiplash.
Who do you think I am?
I think you might be English Ricky. Maybe that's what I'm getting confused with here.
Yeah, he's shit on that.
Yeah. He called it a sports movie, which I agreed with, but he said it in a way that made it sound like it was worse than what it is.
I absolutely destroyed him on that point. I was there.
Right. Yeah. I remember. I don't remember that, actually. I remember him making a point of me.
I remember winning that game.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how, because I can't remember. But even if it is a sports movie, the implication that, you can't take the bones of a sports movie and make it about music.
Indeed, yeah. I think English Ricky found it to be somewhat ethereally offensive, that notion. But I don't think that. I think music's good for sports movies as well.
The problem is that it's about a guy who's just trying to get amazing at something.
Yeah.
And it could, in this instance, it's drumming. And in a sports movie, it could be running fast or dunking a basketball.
Yeah. What else could it be in sports? It could be scoring a goal.
It could be heading a goal.
Catching a hike.
Yeah.
Putting a ball, a birdie, an eagle. What else could it be? It could be earning the most points on the slopes.
I'm setting myself up as a fucking asshole. But you go on. You want to list away? I won't list anything. It's a banger of a year.
Well, Whiplash. It was run very close by one other film, Adam, and that film was Pride.
Yeah, we've chatted loads about that film.
Beautiful film, Pride. I mentioned already the Grand Budapest Hotel. It's my favourite Wes Anderson. I think it's really great. I loved Nightcrawler from that year. I rewatched it recently. It keeps that intensity. It's super exciting. Here's a couple that maybe wouldn't have been contenders in this year, but I just love still and want to say out loud, okay? The Raid 2, Leviathan, which is a Russian movie. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is an Iranian vampire movie and is really, really great. There's Wild Tales by Damien Zifron. Yeah. It's a fantastic Spanish Argentinian film split into these six different story chapters. It's super funny. Worth watching.
Some work better than others.
Yeah, for sure. But there's six, so you can pick and choose. And then three final ones. Mr. Turner, Two Faces of January, which we've dedicated a whole episode of this podcast to. So if you haven't seen that film, watch it and then listen to that. And the final one is 2 Days, One Night with Marion Cotillard. And is set over a weekend about essentially about like unionizing workers in a French factory. And it's so intense and so difficult to watch. And she does anxious breakdown better than I think maybe anyone I've ever seen. So 2014 was an amazing year for me.
Yeah, 2 Days, One Night, that was on my list. That's really good. That's so another good. Great example of why foreign actresses, they try to come over to Hollywood, but they're just so much better in their original language. I don't want them to go back to where they come from.
Sure. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't want them to do that. I just want them to act. I don't want Hollywood to kind of go, oh yeah, you're great. Let's have you and you can be slightly less good.
Penelope Cruz is delightful, like brilliant in English, but when you watch her in a Spanish language film, it's like, wow, this person's transformative.
I don't think she's that. Yeah, she's not that good in English, but in Volver, my God, she's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you've missed a few. Force Majeure.
Seen that.
Oh, it's amazing. Frank's pretty decent. There's a grubby little horror called Goodnight Mommy, right, about two little evil twins, which is super good. And then you've got Edge of Tomorrow, which is obviously...
That's a cruisey.
Yeah, really, really good cruise. Uh-huh. A rare, great Doug Liman flick. So yeah, it's a banging year.
2015.
Again, really hard for me to pick my favourite film. But I've gone down a similar route to my pick in 2013. I've picked for similar reason.
What was your 2013 pick again?
Her.
Okay. Because there's some absolute... I mean, I know you really like Mad Max Fury Road. Mm-hmm. I know you love The Big Short.
Can I guess yours just while we're here? Because I think I've got it.
Yeah, you haven't, but go on then.
Oh, I haven't. In which case, I won't. Then I won't. I was worried that you might be risk fear of suggesting other ones that might be mine for fear of revealing your own. But if I haven't got yours, then feel free to go ahead.
Yeah, no. Oh, is yours Ex Machina?
No, it's not. That's what I thought yours was.
Yeah, I knew that's what you thought mine was.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tough one then. I don't know, maybe Bridge of Spies?
It is not Bridge of Spies.
Mm.
You've mentioned the film already.
Oh, okay, so it's The Big Short.
It's The Big Short, yeah.
It's The Big Short.
And I picked it on the basis that whilst there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other films from this year that could win in many of the other years and that I love, and many of them I've rewatched several times, The Big Short is the one that I could sit down any weekend and watch and love it every time. I just think it's personally for me, it's one of the best films ever made, and I always get something out of it. But there are so many in this year.
If I mentioned any of the others on your list,
you mentioned, I mean, Ex Machina, Mad Max Fury Road are other films that were difficult for me. There were three others that you hadn't mentioned yet. I don't think you have. Two of them are smaller films that would be part of the indie conversation of that year, the alternative list. But Run It really close for me. And the other was another huge, humongous film.
Son of Saul?
No, not Son of Saul.
Ooh.
That was so hard to watch, man. That was like, I know it was intentionally oppressively, you know, it was oppressive filmmaking. It's supposed to make you feel claustrophobic and uncomfortable. It worked. And I never wanted to watch it ever again.
Yeah, but it's a great film. I'm going to say the smaller one is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is on my list, but it's not. It's not. It's not one of the three that I was talking about. By the big mega one, I mean, you know, so for example, Brooklyn, The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Mad Max Fury Road, these were all films that were nominated for the Best Picture Oscar that year. They didn't win it. Another film won it, and that's one of my three.
Room?
No, not Room. You've also like said on this podcast before that you've forgotten it, and at some point I can get you on it, and this is yet more evidence that that's the case.
Well, Spotlight.
Spotlight, yeah. Well, should I just tell you the two indie options?
Yeah.
Okay, well, one of them was A Bigger Splash with Ralph Fiennes, yeah, and what's her name?
Tilda.
And Big Tilda. Love that movie. Super watchable, really exciting, set on the European continent. And then the film that I think is the best film that I watched that year in the cinema, but just it couldn't beat The Big Short for me, was the film Victoria. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Joe, mate, because it's my film.
Is it your favourite film?
Of that year, like,
easy. I did wonder that when it wasn't Ex Machina.
You wondered, but you didn't, did you? Didn't wonder hard enough.
I did, I didn't want to say it out loud because it was still on my list. Yeah, such is the fault of the game.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to go out that way. Yeah. I mean, nothing beats the filmmaking of that film.
Yeah.
It all one shot. Yeah, amazing.
Tell people what it is. I feel like many people listening won't have seen it.
Well, it's set in, is it Germany, Berlin?
It's set in Berlin, yeah.
And it follows a Spanish, young Spanish woman.
She's from Madrid.
And it's set over one night, but it's all told in, it's one shot. So, and it's kind of, initially starts, she kind of meets a guy and it's got Before Sunrise vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But then it takes a little sharp turn and she ends up gets involved in some criminal activity.
Oh, embroiled, I think is the word. Oh.
Embroiled. And it all starts to spiral out of control. And it's just fantastic.
It's so good. As a cinematic experience, it is one of the best I've ever seen. It totally took me by surprise too. I wasn't expecting it to be what it was. And I just kind of went to see it in the cinema, not because I'd heard or read anything about it, but because it looked like the sort of film that I might want to see that day. My primary objective was to go to the cinema as opposed to go to see that film, if that makes sense. So imagine how fucking delighted I was after watching that. So good. Definitely watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, you won cinema that day, my friend.
2016.
But what about 2016, which is another strong year? Oh, yeah. It's a super strong year.
I've got your two films. I know them.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get me on this, then two as well. Because, I mean, the games pick one, but we're really playing loosey-goosey with that.
I mean, you've got two. You said you had two films, and I know that they are Arrival and Captain Fantastic.
That's a yes to Arrival, absolutely no to Captain Fantastic.
Is it Moonlight?
No, I've never seen Moonlight, appallingly. It's on my list.
It's not La La Land.
It's not, no, you're right.
Is it 20th Century Women?
It's not. That's a good flick, but...
Then I don't know what it is. What's the other one?
It's Your Name.
Your Name?
Which is an anime.
Oh, so I never would have got it.
Well, I don't know. You should know and have seen it.
But is Arrival your favourite?
No, Your Name.
Oh my God, I've never even heard of this.
It would, in any other year, obviously be Arrival. Arrival made me, both of these films made me weep. But Your Name, directed by Makoto Shinkai, who's very much kind of, people were thinking he was the next Miyazaki.
Uh-huh.
It's just this fantastic, romantic, crazy, sort of sci-fi, high school, yeah, flick. These teens swap bodies. There's a meteor involved. I mean, it sounds a bit silly. You watch it, it's just great, man. It's a great flick.
Huh.
And it's definitely the film of that year.
Right. Okay. Well, how about that?
Yeah.
I'll watch it, shall I? It sounds like one I should watch.
I think you should watch it. I mean, you like anime, do you?
I do. Yeah.
So like, yeah, you should watch it.
Well, I think I do. You know, I like Studio Ghibli, yeah. And I like Akira.
Yeah, so on that basis, you should watch it because then, you know, you will have seen the obvious animes because it's one of the obvious ones.
Right, now. I'll watch it. Fine. Well, listen, I haven't said my film aloud yet, which is going to help you a bit because I've listed quite a lot of other ones in the attempt to get your...
You have. Tricky, tricky business.
Tricky, tricky. So yeah, it wasn't La La Land, which I do love. I think that's a great film and ran it really close.
Okay.
Moonlight, terrific movie. Absolutely beautiful. Not as rewatchable for me, and I want to save the specialness of it, I think. I'm surprised Captain Fantastic wasn't on your list because you look like the dad in that film, and I know you want to go and live in the woods with your children.
No, I did before I had children, and then I had children and thought, you know what? No, I want to send them to school, thanks.
Yeah, it's good to be near a doctor's. There were two others, though, that ran it real close for me. One of them is the clear cut, and the other is one that I'll mention afterwards.
Hmm. Is the one you're going to mention afterwards have your favourite actor in?
No, that's the one that you're going to mention now.
Oh, Lion.
Yeah. Lion is my favourite of 2016, and that's how you know that I'm playing this game honestly, Adam, because no one cool would ever say that Lion was their favourite film of 2016, but it's the one that I have rewatched more than the others. It's the one, it was run closest by La La Land, I think, in terms of the feels that you get out of the film, but holy hell, Dev Patel. I mean, he's just so wonderful in this film. And I think it's a... I don't even know what to say about it. It just makes me cry when I watch it. I think it's brilliant.
Never seen it.
I would encourage everyone to watch it. And if it helps as an advert as to why to watch it, it's exactly the kind of film that Adam hasn't seen. There you go, that's why.
And as for your other one, I don't know, Nice Guys?
My other one is not English as a first language, if that helps. Oh,
The Handmaiden?
No, I did watch that at the cinema that year, but it didn't make my list, no.
Saucy, mate. That is a saucy flick.
this one is a Spanish movie. Spanish-Argentinian.
Spanish-Argentinian.
It's by your friend and mine, Pedro.
Oh, yeah, that was a good flick. Giulietta.
Giulietta. Wow. Packs a powerful punch, Giulietta. The story of a relationship between a mother and a daughter and the daughter stops talking to the mother all of a sudden, and the mother doesn't know why. And most of the film is from the perspective of the mother. It's a tough old watch, but it's just a brilliant, brilliant film. So if you're ever in the mood for something a little challenging and very upsetting, Giulietta, definitely worth watching.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff in 2016. Under the Shadow, which is a great little, I think it's Iranian horror movie. All set in a house. Ouija, Origin of Evil, is a really great little horror flick directed by Mike Flanagan, mm-hmm. who I love.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you've got Fences. You love Fences.
Fences with Denzel.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
That's a funny little joke.
Listen, I love Denzel as much as the next guy, but Fences can get the F.O.
Hell or High Water, which I like to call Hell and High Water.
Yeah.
Hell and High Water.
Nearly made my list, but I wanted to keep it short after 2014 and 15.
Mm. And then 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is a belter.
Yeah.
2017.
Right, let's wrap this bad boy up with 2017.
Oof. I think I know yours. But it's your turn to guess.
I mean, is yours got a cancelled actor in it? Is your doppelganger in this one?
Is my doppelganger?
You know.
Huh?
You cannibal man, Army Hammer.
Oh, no. That's not even on my list.
Oh, what? I thought you loved Call Me By Your Name.
I think when I watched it in 2017... I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. And I've watched it maybe three times since then. And every time I've watched it, it gets worse. I see it more. The conversation between young Timothée Chalamet and his father, there's a scene towards the end of the film. That's a beautiful, wonderful scene. But the charm that I think the rest of the film had on me in the first viewing is kind of faded. Not really relevant, not really related to Armie Hammer. And his cancelledness. I don't know. There's just something about it that wore off over time. You know?
Yeah, you were always talking about that, by the way. Always.
Sure.
That was your number one.
I mean, it definitely wasn't my number one, but, you know.
For a while it was.
Just in the same way that you always talk about all these other films I mentioned earlier, but then you're like, oh, no, not to, oh, I've never even seen it. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't believe you'd say that.
I'm going to go for Wind River.
Okay, well, it would 100% make my list, but it still wouldn't be my favourite.
Is it, would you say it's one of the more, it's pickable?
You and I watched this film together in the cinema. At the IMAX.
You're not going to say Dunkirk, are you?
No.
Oh, right, because we did that.
We also did another.
Blade Runner.
It's Blade Runner 2049.
2049,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, do you know, in the year of 20 and 17, Adam Richmond, it wasn't even in my top five. In the year of 20 and 24, that's the movie that just keeps getting better and better. I really love it now. I think it's brilliant now. I can see everything that's right with it. And what was wrong in 2017 was merely my expectations, what I brought to it. But as a piece of filmmaking, it's terrific. And I encourage people to return to it if they haven't seen it since then, perhaps to have a revitalized viewing, because it's just so great. And it was the clear number one for me, although, Wind River a close second.
Yeah, I've never really, I think I started rewatching it and did 30 minutes and then something happened, and so I've never really properly rewatched it.
All of the best memories are hers, Adam.
Yeah, you always say that to me whenever we talk about this film, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you should rewatch it.
Gonna try and guess mine, are you?
It's You Were Never Really Here.
Are you joking?
No. Do you not like that?
No, I saw it once and never thought about it again. I've been trying to get us to do it on this podcast.
Oh, I thought you really liked it.
No, absolutely not.
Oh.
I was really super disappointed.
My ability to
it.
Guess you has got worse and worse as these episodes have gone on. As the quality and the dearth of the quality and the volume of the films has increased. How about that? Then I've no clue, because the only other film I have on my list is God's Own Country, and I'm pretty sure it's not that.
Well, you wouldn't think, I'm a Get Out guy or a Lady Bird guy. What about Coco? I mean, Coco's phenomenal.
It's Get Out, isn't it?
No, of course not.
Is it Lady Bird?
No.
Oh, fuck.
It's just the fact that you didn't even consider.
No, do you know what it is? I got so in my own head about how I wrote really long lists for 2014 and 2015 that, because what I do in my planning is I write the list of all the films I like and I include the one that I think that you like and I put it in capitals. And in most months, that's okay. And in most years, that's okay because I've got so many films on my list that if it's not that one, it's going to be one of the others. But what I've done in 2017 is write Blade Runner 2049, You Were Never Really Here, and God's Own Country. And I've panicked and not written anything else because I thought you might shout at me about how long... Because I thought you might shout at me about how long I was taken.
Ah, God's Own Country I thought was very, very poor.
Did you? I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Just found it really trite.
Right. Yeah.
No, my film is... I'm very disappointed that you didn't pick it for me. Uh-huh. It's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, directed by Guy Ritchie.
That's very funny.
I'm not joking. That's the film of the
King
year.
Arthur film that we did on our podcast.
No, that's the Clever. The Clever.
King Arthur with... No, that's The King with Timothy Chalamet. Wait, is this the one that has the guy from the Bikers TV series in?
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah.
Is that seriously... I didn't ever see it. I feel like you're doing a joke on me.
I'm not doing a joke. I couldn't pick between the other strong ones, so I just went for the funnest, most entertained I was by a film.
Wow.
It's so silly and fun and dumb, and it just really, really works for me. Like, he directs a... It's not historical, but yeah, I suppose it's historical to some extent. Epic, but like a Guy Ritchie film. And it's got like the whole camera moves and the voiceovers. There's this amazing sequence where Arthur has to go on this kind of mad mystic quest. And in any other movie, it would be the meat of the movie. It would be like the entirety of the second act. And Ritchie just decides to... like do this insane, amazing whiz past montage through like the most interesting, one of the most interesting bits of the story. And it's just got so much confidence and stupidity in it. and it's just a laugh, and Jude Law's fun, and even a David Beckham cameo can't make me think less of the film.
David Beckham's in it.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
Wow.
When he turns up. But I like to think that everyone thinks that they're above King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Mm-hmm. And they're wrong.
And so you've picked it as your favourite.
Well, yeah.
Are you making a point by doing this? Or is it like... To yourself. How close is this pick to you that my pick of The Lion is to me?
It doesn't. I've only seen this film once. It's based on that viewing.
Right. Yeah.
Atomic Blonde is nipping at the heels, because that's super. I had super fun with that. That's a real great laugh.
That was the fighty one, wasn't it?
Really fighty, super brutal. Charlize Theron is phenomenal in that film.
Mm, I never saw it, but it looked great.
Yeah, I rewatched it, and it kind of outstays its welcome to an extent. And I fear if I rewatched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, the same thing would happen. But I want to keep that memory. He had a whole 5-film arc.
Right.
Plotted out for it, and it, you know, died on its ass, and we're never going to get to see the others, and it's just a real shame.
We can imagine the others.
No, we really can't, because he does stuff in this that you just wouldn't see, you wouldn't peg. Whatever you say about Richie, he's light on his feet, and he does sort of surprising, odd choices, and some of which work and some of which don't. And I like that about him.
Well, I know we're not allowed to talk about TV on these podcasts, but I just recently watched and quite enjoyed the Netflix series The Gentleman that Guy Ritchie made, which I've pretty much exclusively heard people, not people I know in my real life, but people on the internet or in the media, say is shit and bad and terrible. And I thought it was basically broadly entertaining, and there was nothing wrong with it at all. So I do think Guy Ritchie gets a bit. People remain snooty about him, and I wonder if that's, you know, I wonder why.
Marina Hyde said on her podcast with Richard Osman, she just blithely shat on the Gentleman TV series and said, "Oh, it's another Guy Ritchie thing, and he's got nothing to say." Why does someone have to have something to say to make something worthwhile?
He doesn't have
anything to say.
Yeah,
sometimes
I don't want him to say anything. Even if he had something to say, I don't want to know what that is. I just want to watch this thing.
Sometimes I want someone to say something, but in general, I don't. Yeah, not really.
No.
And not a valid criticism.
A broadly good podcast, though, I would say.
Yeah, I tried listening to it. I found it. Found it pretty dull.
Sure.
Nothing on Movies You Forgot, You Forgot.
Well,
that was part three of the long, long run of pick one. ending on less controversial terms in part two, I think.
Yeah. We've gone from Tom Cruise to Marina Hyde.
Yeah, I'm getting... Oh, Joey Jojo is a little miffed. He thinks I've played a little trick on him.
You're getting miff vibes.
No, I mean, I'm just teasing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, no,
Have I pulled your pants down?
I think it's improbable. I think all I'm saying is in episodes one and two, I was pretty good at guessing you. And now all of a sudden in episode three, all of the films you've picked, I've never heard of. And I just wonder if there's an unconscious correlation there. That's all. If you're hearing miff, that's probably what it is.
Yeah, but you do know my list hasn't changed from the day that I WhatsApped it you.
Yeah.
You can check my
I would
working.
Never check it, and I believe that. But I think what might have happened is that you might have unconsciously anticipated that this would happen about halfway through. So before any of it even happened, you've gone a bit more rogue. There's a few different barriers there.
It's only the last two. You hadn't heard of your name, and I mean, you've heard of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
I'm a real recency bias guy. That's an issue. That's one of my issues, you know. I don't even remember what we were talking about before we said I was miffed. I feel like I've been miffed forever.
So yeah, that was the episode. We'll be back next week for the final part. Oh, this is a fucking slog. It seemed like a good idea. Say bye-bye, Joe.
Goodbye.